We're joined now by Jason Berry. The story of late has been about the mayor, Mitch Landrieu. Jason Berry, good morning to you.
Thank you, Jim. Always a pleasure to be with you.
It's nice to talk with you. Well, Mitch Landrieu is a man who has immense talent. He has talents that even if his name were not Landrieu, he would be a natural politician, a remarkable speaker, and that was on display in full bloom when he made his case on why he removed the monuments in New Orleans. What did you make of that speech?
Well, my wife and I went to it. I had done an op-ed piece for the Times-Picayune, which posted that morning, and I got an email from the mayor all but summoning me to attend his speech. I mean, I could have gotten out if I wanted to. But I was naturally curious, so we went down there, and, you know, it was a brilliant speech. It was very well crafted. He read it quite smoothly on the teleprompter. And in the course of watching him deliver it, there were, I guess, maybe 300 people in Gallier Hall, most of them, you know, politically connected or people working in City Hall, what have you. I thought the piece would probably get some notice in the national media, but I had no idea it would get the full attention that it did. You know, it's rare that politicians take the idea of history and really confront it. Most political speeches hit the high points, the issues that a given elected official or candidate wants to strike notes on, and then it moves on to, you know, sort of this is what we can do together, and then you sail on in the final paragraphs toward an uplifting finale. He did not do that. He really talked about the meaning of the statues, when they were erected, and why they were so divisive, and I think that's what really caught the attention of columnists in the New York Times, the Chicago Tribune, and elsewhere. So I thought it was a rather impressive speech.
And he is now a national figure, and some are speculating that he may run for office, and really, in his case, there's only one office remaining. He's pretty much not going to win a race statewide in Louisiana, and he would have to sit out 4 years before running for mayor again. Is there any possibility, Jason Berry, that Mitch Landrieu will be looking at running for president of the United States?
Well, he doesn't call me up at night and share his secrets with me, but I would say yes. I think a number of people are encouraging him to run, and if he were to run for president, I think he would have three advantages that would position him well. The great hurdle would be raising enough money to compete in the primaries, and that is something that anyone who runs for president really has to take a long, hard look at because it costs just an absolute ton of money. But he's got three things going for him. He can run as the rebuilder of an American city that had all but been destroyed, and by the time Ray Nagin limped out of office and Mitch was, you know, elected to his first term as mayor, I think the city was facing a $100 million deficit. It is arguably better today as an infrastructure and as a place to live than it has been in decades. I say that mindful of the crime, of course, and the threat by, you know, sea rise and the sinking of the wetlands. But
what is it about him that sets Mitch Landrieu apart from other politicians?
I think he's one of the most naturally charismatic elected officials I've ever met. He certainly, I can't think of anyone in this state who has the charisma that he has. And what's so interesting about his crowd appeal, he's quite telegenic, he projects an optimism that you don't often see in elected officials. No disrespect to the many people who hold offices in this state or in other states, but Mitch is a sort of happy warrior. He projects this persona of someone who believes that our better days lie ahead. And if you think about the people who get elected to the presidency, charisma is often a part of it, not necessarily a part of it. Richard Nixon did not have charisma, but he had gravitas. And had he not, you know, stumbled into the Watergate swamp, I think he may have been one of the better presidents. Ronald Reagan projected this idea, this image of sunny optimism. And Obama did, too, in a different way. And I think Mitch has that quality, which will stand him in good stead.
877-217-5757 is your number, and we'll go to the phone lines in just a moment. Email us at talk@talklouisiana.org. And a question from a listener, Kelly, asks, should Mitch Landrieu have run for governor in 2015? Now it seems if he had run, he might very well have won.
Well, I think it would have been difficult for him to have run in 2015. That's a very intelligent question. The problem he faced at that time was that he was in the middle of this major rebuilding of New Orleans with miles of infrastructure. And, of course, a lot of people were complaining about the streets being torn up. And, you know, when you're putting in pipes and repairing streets on such a large basis, it requires patience of the people in charge and patience of the drivers and the people walking the sidewalks. And I think a lot of people would have felt at that time, at least in New Orleans, where, you know, you told us you were going to rebuild the city and now you're leaving to run for governor. So I think that would have been a difficult hurdle for him. And I think he also wisely realized that it was a lot better to finish out his term and as mayor and have a strong record of rebuilding to run on wherever he might go at that point.
877-217-5757. Still time to get in with Jason Berry. He has written a piece that has gotten a lot of attention of late about Mitch Landrieu, the Confederate monuments, and the future prospects for the mayor of New Orleans. Chris Andrews, I think this is Reverend Chris Andrews in Baton Rouge. Good afternoon, or good morning, Chris. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Jim. I just to comment about Mitch and his character. After the flood, I direct a nonprofit that helps restore homes that have been devastated by that terrible natural disaster. And Mitch came up to our community. He was in Central. And it was one of those moments when you could have had a feel-good and some pictures and goodbye and I'll see you later. But I'm telling you, he stayed the whole day. He worked his fingers to the bone, sweated and helped, and was a real contributor. And the man just showed his mettle, I thought, there. And, you know, I'll never forget that. Admire him for that effort as well as other efforts he's made. So I just wanted to share that little vignette about his life. And I don't know if he got any press on that day, but certainly he was here and he was turning to and lending sweat and muscle to helping people in desperate situations.
Well, thank you, Chris Andrews, for sharing your story. Jason, he's one of these guys, Mitch Landrieu is, who if he's involved in something, he's probably not going to give it a 50% effort. He's a 100% guy.
He is, and I greatly appreciate the Reverend's comment. I was unaware of that participation by Mitch Landrieu in Central, but it's always helpful to get a more rounded picture of anyone that you're writing about. The thing that's long struck me about him is that he comes at this so naturally. You know, a lot of politicians really struggle to give the great speech, you know, when you're announcing or when you're elected. And let's face it, some of us just have that ability to stand up. I should say some of them have that ability to stand up and speak well and rouse the crowd. And others are not. I guess it's just a sort of natural disposition. And I suppose growing up as Moon Landrieu's son, a lot of that rubbed off on him.
Paul in Opelousas. Paul, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Jason Berry.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning. Thank you. Just a question. I think on some interview, it was either NPR National, that Mayor Landrieu said, they asked him the question, do you plan to run for president? He said no at the time. But you never know. Those plans can change. I think we have a great governor now. But do you think any Landrieu, him or his sister, what you think their future plans are. And really right now, you know, being president is kind of like a meat grinder. That's my comment. That's my question. What do you think Eva Landrieu is going to do for the state of Louisiana? Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
Well, my guess, my hunch, I have no inside information on this, but my guess is that he probably will run for president. I know he's denying it. When I asked him in the interview for the article I did last week, what about when you finish as mayor? What next? And he smiled and said, I'm going to take a nap. Of course, we all tend to wake up from our naps. But, yeah, no, my guess is that he probably will run. And, look, if he runs and doesn't win but makes a good showing, it strengthens him in Louisiana. And I know all the smart money today is saying that because of the monuments and the controversy surrounding the dismantling of those Confederate statues that he could never get elected statewide in Louisiana. But, you know, if it's a tight presidential race and he's the candidate and people start looking at it, most people want to go with a winner. And even though we've been a heavily Republican state in the national elections, I would not foreclose the possibility that he could carry the state running for president.
Now, a listener asks about the crime issues in New Orleans. That's something the mayor has had difficulty combating. How much of an issue will that be in his future political endeavors?
Oh, I'm sure it will be the issue that any opposition tries to hang on him. And the crime problem here is real. It's very hard to divorce the terrible homicide rate from the widespread availability of automatic weapons. And I know the moment you say that, it pushes the red button and, you know, people in the NRA want to holler. But the reality is people in Ducks Unlimited don't use AK-47s. And we've got so many military assault rifles that are being sold on the open market. I mean, this deranged man who shot Congressman Scalise never should have had access to guns like that. I mean, you know, everybody's praying for Steve Scalise, you know, to recover. But, you know, I think until we can have a sane conversation, a rational conversation in this country about how to restrict guns, the crime problem, you know, is simply going to hang out there in large cities. There's a real question about how you intervene in the lives of young people who come from splintered backgrounds. And churches alone can't do it. You know, has the government done enough? I mean, you can split that question down the middle between people on the right and the left. But the reality is there are some communities that really are facing this. Interestingly, New York City doesn't have it nearly as bad as they once did.
Jason, I'm sorry we do have to roll, but it's been a pleasure as always. We'll talk soon.